Hello, welcome to this edition of the Nary Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kenny, and we're recording this on February 17th, 2016. We're going to be talking today with our guest, Eric Frankel of Green Street Advisors, about some of the latest developments in the industrial real estate market. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
So it appears that industrial tenant demand has been on a good run over the past year, despite a somewhat choppy global economic outlook. Can you comment on why you think industrial demand has been so strong recently?
Sure. So, right there, as you've mentioned, global economic growth has been somewhat choppy, and so when we think about industrial demand, what has historically driven it, it's usually been the growth in global trade and consumption locally. And so by both those measures, neither has been particularly outstanding. We've seen, rail volume been pretty choppy. Air cargo volume has been pretty sedate, and seaport volume has been okay. And then you look at U.S. retail sales, and that's been okay. So all those those economic indicators point out to industrial demand being fair to good. However, industrial demand has really been great. And so the only economic driver I can point to is the fact that inventory levels have been rising at a much faster pace than U.S. retail sales the last several years. And there's a number of theories behind it. I think one that's probably quite reasonable is the fact that e-commerce has really delved into a variety of different businesses, and it's causing a lot of retailers to really stock up in their warehouses. And so that trend has benefited the U.S. industrial market pretty favorably.
And Eric, institutional investors have shown interest in industrial properties and portfolios lately. What do you think of the large portfolios that have traded recently and where investor interest currently stands?
Right. There have been a number of portfolios that have traded over the last couple of years at pretty high prices. And so the fact that these portfolios have traded is a function of price and scale. And so if you think about an industrial property, they're pretty big buildings, but they trade at relatively low prices per square foot. And so you have to accumulate a lot of properties to get to a size where an institutional investor actually shows interest. And so you had a number of investors create platforms that either were formed or grew during the downturns, but they're able to create these billion-dollar portfolios. And when you couple that with the fact that industrial prices have appreciated pretty greatly over the past several years, you got to the point where institutional investors, they wanted to buy a $3 billion industrial portfolio. You had your selection from last year. And so if you think about, other sectors, it's much easier to buy a Class A mall or a large CBD office building in San Francisco office for a couple billion dollars. Until recently, it was much harder to do that for industrial, but you had your selection the last couple of years. And so obviously, the sellers of these portfolios, found that they can get pretty good prices relative to what they paid, and so that's why a lot of it occurred. When you couple with the fact that, the tenant demand has been strong relatively recently, I think that's also piqued a lot of investor interest in the asset class. And so it's unlikely we're going to see as many portfolios trade in the next couple of years. That's unless, a REIT decides to sell their own portfolio. But investor interest, at least in small amounts, should continue to be pretty solid.
And Eric, you touched on e-commerce just a little while ago. As those sales have grown, how has the segment impacted the design and location of warehouses?
Right. So, you can think about it in a couple ways. And so, if you look at the largest e-commerce player, Amazon, they're really leading the charge in a lot of respects, especially in terms of the design of their supply chain. So if you think about the types of buildings they've built, they've actually effectively built multi-story warehouses. Now, they don't look like it from the outside, but if you actually go to the inside of these warehouses, you see that they have installed in, pretty modern warehouses, these mezzanine floors. And so they can still use, utilize entire cubic footage of a warehouse to store product. Now, they store it in single packages rather than traditional pallets, but that still allows them to use a cubic footage, and they can still use a warehouse that's 40 feet in clear height. And so you're starting to see warehouses that were traditionally built for, a Class A warehouses was built, with a clear height of 32 feet. That's now expanding to roughly 40 feet thanks to Amazon. Amazon warehouses, especially these large fulfillment centers, also have a lot of car parking because they are very manually intensive, especially during the holiday season. And so those are the major differences for those types of warehouses. More recently, you've seen e-commerce players, Amazon specifically, start to take up space in closer to population centers. And they're not necessarily requiring state-of-the-art warehouse space. They can occupy warehouses that are 10, 20, 30, even 40 years old, as long as it's somewhat functional and it has a ceiling height of at least 24 feet. They can use that to distribute product for next day delivery or even next hour delivery. And so that's a benefit for the entire industrial stock, if you will. And even those fulfillment centers, I should mention, those fulfillment centers are also located closer to population centers than you would typically see for a distribution center. And so one statistic that we found more recently is that the average Amazon warehouse has roughly twice as many people within a 100-mile radius as a traditional Walmart distribution facility. So that kind of tells you where these distribution centers are going to be located over time. They're going to be closer to population centers.
Well, Eric, clearly a lot going on here in the industrial sector. Thank you so much for your time and for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
Many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us as well. Remember that you can always visit REIT.com for more on this and other real estate news and analysis. For the NAREIT podcast, I'm Alan Kenney.